Welcome to episode 78 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. It's Tuesday, the 27th of September, 2016, and we're here to talk to you on your commute or workout or walk or whatever you're doing. Hope you're well. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast where we count down movies and television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to make the tough decisions on what to watch next.
That's right. So what are we doing this week, Paul? We got something, right?
We are. We are going to do what just about every film podcast out there has already done. We're a little slower than most, but we get there in the end down here in Australia.
Takes a while.
Yeah. And we are going to look back at this year's summer movie season. Now, summer, obviously, for our northern hemisphere listeners. Winter for us down here in Australia.
Yep.
But we thought, well, if we're going to do something as big as this, and we are going to talk about summer in the States, maybe we should have a citizen from the US of A on with us.
We're going
to welcome Rick Mancrush from the Poop Culture Podcast to help us out today. How you going, Rick?
What's up, fellas? Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for being here. We really appreciate you giving up your Saturday night with a few beers in hand.
Yeah, there was nothing else going on this Saturday night anyway.
So before we go any further, Rick, tell us, our listeners, a little bit about your podcast, which has been the source of much mirth between Wayne and I, your name. So maybe you can clarify what Poop Culture is all about.
Well, basically, it's about poop. It's a science show about if you want to take a dump and then have somebody check it out, you would send a sample in. No, I'm just playing. It's a play on words. You know, it's a play on pop culture. And like I've said a million times before, it's, you know, everything out there is kind of bullshit. You know, the things we see on the news, and we just kind of like to play with that a little bit. So that's kind of what the podcast is. We go through some news stories. We have a bunch of guests on the show, but we kind of hit on every genre. You know, we do movies, we do music, TV. You know, we've had people on that were ghost hunters.
Yeah.
People on from alien nuts, Bigfoot hunters, like all kinds of stuff. So kind of a little bit of everything.
It's an awesome show. It's very entertaining. And you've mentioned some of the more obscure guests, but you've had some pretty big guests on the show as well.
Yeah, we've had a couple. My favorites, like Lloyd Kaufman was on, obviously from Troma. Wow. You know, Charles Band was on. Duddy B from the Dirty Heads, music. One of my favorites to get him on. Past week, we just had a band that's getting huge everywhere. It's called Steve and Seagulls. A little play on Steven Seagal.
Got it.
They do a little cut on like metal bluegrass, so it's really popular. If you check them out on YouTube, they do some awesome renditions of these songs. But yeah, we've had all kinds of people on.
Nice. And like us, you do a few segments in your show as well. I'm particularly enjoying your Craigslist adverts that you've been starting to read out.
Yeah. I don't know how popular it is down there, but here it's, if you want to get Hep C pretty easily, just jump on Craigslist and you can get it.
Well, I was going to say nice, but maybe that's not the right word to follow up with there.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention as well, for anyone who hasn't heard the podcast, like Rick has had Daniel Baldwin on his show.
Wayne's favorite episode.
I'm totally, like, he was in The Sopranos, man. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Daniel Baldwin was the man. You heard the little skit. He wanted to like start like basically like a Fight Club on TV, which would be incredible. But I don't know how that's ever going to pan out for him.
Yeah.
And he's obviously the brother of one of Wayne's most massive man crushes,
Alec Baldwin.
So
yes.
That's, you know, now you're like one closer step to your dream.
This is it. One more degree.
I thought you were going to say Stephen Baldwin.
Stephen's fine, but Alec and me have history.
Yeah, well, Stephen Baldwin has the usual suspects, but that's all.
Well, you're not a big fan of Fled?
Yeah, I was just going to say Fled. Fled was great. Fled was great.
One of us is a big fan of Fled in this room. One of us. All right. Well, look, speaking of segments, we should maybe move on to our first segment of the day, and that is our recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
The recount's our listener feedback segment, where we get all of the feedback from our peeps that were listening out and start to discuss that, give it a little air. Paul, what do we got this week?
Well, we're going to go right the way back, because in trawling through the feedback, I realized I'd forgotten this one.
Uh-huh.
From the Rage Quit podcast, going right the way back to our most ridiculous face-palming action scenes,
yeah.
He nominated the finale bike chase into fight scene in MI2.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, which we did talk about. I talked about on the show as being pretty ridiculously stupid and shit.
Mm.
Then from regular contributor and good friend to the show, Darth Grumpy, he went through his best cameos. So let's see, he said. Ryan Reynolds in Harold and Kumar, Alfred Hitchcock in, well, all of his films.
I forgot about Ryan Reynolds. That's awesome. He was the doctor. Yeah,
yeah,
that was
good.
Good
one.
Billy Crystal and Carol Kane in The Princess Bride. Yep, can see that one. Stan Lee, just didn't put any film
everywhere,
in. Stan Lee's in every film ever. Robin Williams in Dead Again. I'd forgotten all about that one. Pretty much any Muppet movie.
Yep. Okay.
Drew Barrymore seen in cameo in Scream, sorry, he considers a cameo. And by far, Gene Hackman in Young Frankenstein kills them all.
Wow, I'd never seen that one.
You've never seen Young Frankenstein? Oh, with the tragic passing of Gene Wilder recently?
Yeah, maybe maybe I should, yes.
Check out.
It's a classic.
Yeah, it is. No arguments there. Andrew Kropel, who is the host of the Dealing with Philip, one of the shows on our little podcast network.
Mm-hmm.
Top seven cameos. Danny Glover in Maverick. Bob Saget in Half-Baked. Yeah. Eminem from The Interview. Stan Lee in the entire MCU. There you go, Gene Hackman in Young Frankenstein.
Wow.
Neil Patrick Harris in Harold and Kumar. And number one, Will Smith in Jersey Girl.
Yes, I agree with that. And you know what, if I thought about it, because I didn't expect him to be in that. And I love Kevin Smith. I know he's fallen from grace a little artistically lately.
Or a lot.
Yeah, but I didn't mind that movie.
I haven't seen it, so
okay.
I was shocked to hear Will Smith.
No, he just kind of slides in at the end, and you're holy shit, because they reference him the whole movie, and then he turns up.
Yeah, he's like himself, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. He's just talking with Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck's in character, but he's playing himself. That's cool.
Hmm, so both of you have seen Jersey Girl, and I haven't.
I don't mind that movie one bit.
It's okay. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
All right, from Cadaver Cast, at Cadaver_cast. Again, another show from our podcast network, and their obligatory horror list in relation to cameos. Dick Miller from The Howling, Kevin McCarthy from Body Snatchers 1978, and Alice Cooper from one of my little fave indie horror films, Prince of Darkness.
Oh.
You've seen that one, Man Crush?
No.
I haven't seen.
Ooh. I haven't.
That's one to add to your watch list then. That's John
sure
Carpenter
thing.
Film.
You might give me a bunch in this episode. You guys know like all kinds of movies I never heard of.
Cool.
Sign of a misspent youth.
From Twisted Philly at Twisted_Philly. Big miss on my list of badass women in TV, Kalita Smith on Zed Nation.
Can't say I'm familiar with that one.
It's a TV show which is created by, I'm sure you've had something to do with these guys, Rick, The Asylum.
The Asylum, yep, David Latt.
Yep, there you go. So it's actually, I think it's in its third season now, so it's a successful TV series about really budget zombies.
Have you seen
very,
it?
Very loose that it's successful. It's kind of like,
it's on the air.
It had its moments in season one, and then it just kind of went way off the rails, but it's Asylum, so.
Adventure Frequency, again, chiming in with their best cameo, Val Kilmer as Elvis in True Romance.
Yeah, yeah, good one. That's a good one.
Lizard Queen, regular contributor to the show, Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused, and Will Ferrell in both Wedding Crashers and The Internship.
Yeah.
I know. I haven't seen The Internship, but yeah.
Speaking of Pass the F and Popcorn said, also Ferrell in Wedding Crashers. So that got a lot of love.
Hmm.
Heckler Kane, Stan Lee in every Marvel movie ever made. this is one Wayne you've seen, I haven't yet. The BGGO podcast. Literally just watched Popstar this week, still singing No So Humble, because that's
talking
about on our top 10.
Absolutely. That movie rocks.
Yeah, it's not bad.
This one I'm not familiar with. I don't know if you guys are. From Scooby-Doom, with an exclamation point at the end,
mm-hmm.
Frank Welker in The Informant as Matt Damon's dad.
Who's Frank Welker?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all been stumped.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And finally, from Michael Dalton, True Romance, take your picks as they are all phenomenal. QT brings out their absolute best, except he just wrote the script.
He just wrote it and disassociated himself.
Did the actual directing, but yes, nevertheless, very nice.
Hey, I got one real quick that I don't know if anybody noticed it. Or it's I already said his name, so Lloyd Kaufman actually made a cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Did he?
Oh, really? Where was he? Yeah.
When they're going into the prison, he's the old man screaming off the top.
Okay,
I think
nice.
I actually do reckon remember that one. Yeah. Oh, good one.
Because Gunn used to make movies for Troma, so he invited him.
Yep, there you go. There's the link right there. Very nice. Well, this is a little bit controversial.
Okay, what?
And I had a back and forth during the week with Pat and Jason Binge, or Pat from that show. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Jason from that show. About our review last week, Rewind Be Kind review of Leon the Professional.
Oh, really? Why? What happened?
I'll read his tweet.
Okay.
Paul and Wayne, you realize the Lolita undertones are on purpose. The movie means to make you uncomfortable and feel dirty.
Excellent point, but I just feel icky, man. But yeah. I know. If it's meant to do that, though, I would probably argue that it's possibly somewhat out of tone with I consider to be the real attraction of the movie. But, hey, that's French guys for you, man. I'm going to mess with you.
Have you seen that movie, Rick?
Yes, I have. It's a great movie.
Right? It's a great movie. We saw two different versions. I saw the 133-minute version, which has a lot more of those Lolita undertones.
Which I didn't know existed.
Quite uncomfortable.
That's got to be an international release.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So Jason did want me to emphasize, though, that he in no way obviously endorses any of that, but he just says he thinks the film was more successful than we gave it credit to be, given though that deliberateness. So
there's a movie that Michael Fassbender is in called Shame, and it features prolonged shots of him having sex and having like contorted faces and stuff like that, and it goes on and on and on. And I didn't like that, but I know it was there exactly for that express purpose to make you feel uncomfortable. So this, look, it's a good device and obviously the mark of a pretty good director to go that deep. But you know me, I'm all about the cheap payoff. So I would rather just be happy the whole time.
Right. Well, that's it for today's recount segment. We've got a couple other segments for you before we get into our discussions about the summer 2016 proper. And the first of those is Check It Out. Check It Out is where Wayne and I share a piece of movie or TV related news with you, the audience, and ask you to check it out along with the other person.
Yeah.
So how about you lead off, Wayne?
All right, man. Well, my Check It Out this week is, it's a rumor that's been out for a little while now, but I just wanted to raise it and discuss it. It's about Star Wars, and it's about specifically the new Star Wars Han Solo film. Paul giving me a deadpan look as he is a bitch who does not like Star Wars for some reason.
I do like Star Wars. I just don't like the fucking prequels.
Yeah. Number three was the shit, but that's me.
It was shit. You're right.
The shit.
I'm with Wayne on this. Three was awesome.
Right?
What?
The other two were bombs. First,
yeah, what are the odds that sitting here in this studio and hooking up directly to the States that two of the four people in the entire world
fuck off. This is not an uncommon view.
Are in this conversation.
A lot of folks who can see past their own nose do know that three was better. But yeah, okay. Well, speaking of which, the Star Wars and Han Solo film, we know the lead of this has been cast. It's Alden Ehrenreich.
Well, not bad. Well done.
There you go. But have you heard who they may be casting for Lando Calrissian?
Yes,
Jayden, you do? Okay.
Actually, oh, God. Perish the thought.
No, rumor has it that, and I think this is great if it's true, is that Donald Glover, best known for playing Lovable Troy in Community, is Disney's favorite to play Lando.
Childish Lando Calrissian. Is that his name?
Childish Gambino, yeah.
Gambino.
Yeah, that's his stage name for whatever. But Lando Calrissian, man. This guy, he actually kind of looks like him. He's probably cool enough as he's a musician and whatnot to play that Billy D shit. He himself has actually addressed this rumor.
Oh, okay.
He said, he really sidestepped it though. He said, yep, there are rumors. I mean, I grew up on Star Wars. My dad was a big fan. I had all the toys when I was little. I had a Darth Vader with a lightsaber he has. It was cool. It's a dynasty. It's like the Bible. I love that franchise. That's all he said.
He should be a politician.
Exactly. He completely just, you know, deflected that.
Yeah.
So very dicey, but, you know, this is, I mean, he's doing pretty well if this happens, because he's in Spider-Man Homecoming. He's been cast for that. He was in
The Martian.
The Martian, exactly. Role. So, yep. You know, he's so coming through the ranks.
His career's breaking out. Look, I've got no problem with that.
I want to see him as Lando. That'd be cool.
What are they going to do? Like, do like a Colt 45 demo or something? He's got to go in there and do the old commercial. Did you guys ever see that with Billy Dee?
No.
Oh, man. No. You got a YouTube Billy D doing the Colt 45 commercials from back in the day.
That's the whiskey, right?
Oh, no, it's actually Colt 45 is a malt liquor. It's a beer. It's malt a liquor. 40 ounce.
That's right. No, I have
to. Okay. All right. We will check that out.
Nothing but class for Billy D.
All right. Well, my Check It Out is of far less significance, I guess, if to the wider audience of the world, because Star Wars being the phenomenon that it is. And it does reference what, quote unquote, from ScreenRant.com, the disappointing box office returns for Blair Witch, which just opened. Did you see that one, Rick?
I did not see it. I don't know if I'm really into seeing it, though. Like, those whole found footage movies are not my cup of tea.
Yeah, yours and a lot of people's, fair enough. Well, that said, it has been a very successful post-summer season for horror, with most of the horror films hitting and scoring a pretty decent returns. So naturally we look ahead to what's coming next, and both Rings, the sequel to the Ring films, and the next Friday the 13th film have been pushed back into next year. So Friday the 13th was going to open January. It's been pushed all the way to October next year. Apparently it's actually going to happen now.
So it should be. It should be in... Well, these movies have to be in October. They got
to
stop
putting
horror movies in May and February. Like, nobody cares about them then.
I think it's actually a good sign that they're pushing it from January, because that's the dumping ground. That's graveyards even for films. And if a film gets released in January, they're basically expecting it to be an absolute pile of stinking turd.
It's so weird how that is actually the thing in Hollywood. Like, you make a movie and you have to fight for a release date. And that's actually what kind of, you know, it can rise and fall on that. So it's just weird that I think, because for me, if I want to see a movie, it comes out, then I'll go see it. I don't know whether it's summer or winter or whatever, but I understand. People are out more in summer.
Well, on that note then, of very great concern is the fact that Rings has been pushed to February of next year.
Oh, really?
So read into that what you will, but clearly the studio doesn't have a lot of confidence in it.
Yeah, out of interest, the Blair Witch one, I've heard nothing about it. I don't plan to see it unless we decide to review it. Mm-hmm. Did I hear rumblings that was considered to be quite good?
Well, the early trailers, which had quotes from places like bloodydisgusting.com and credible horror websites, said this is one of the best horror movies going around. And that was before they revealed it was a Blair Witch sequel.
Didn't they say that about the Witch?
Oh, yes. You were the first person to warn me off that film, and you were very, very correct, sir.
You saw it, Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about it, and obviously I wasn't going to see it anyway, but I certainly wasn't going to see it after I heard that.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it at all.
But that's like the same thing. Like, if you go to all these places that are, you know, all about that genre, for the most part, they're never going to shit on any of them, because if they do, they're never going to be able to review anything. So they're always going to give it a little bit of fluff. Like, oh, yeah, it's great. It might be the best movie of the season. You know, like, what does that mean? It's the only horror movie of the season. So, of course, it's going to be the best one. What did you guys think of the first one?
I liked the first
one. I did like the first one as well, which is unusual. The second one was probably the worst movie I've ever seen.
I'm pretty sure it made our top 10 biggest pieces of shit ever.
So, I don't know. Maybe on that. Do we know what third one is?
The reason I am interested is genuinely because of the people behind it. So it's directed by the guy who directed The Guest and Your Next, two of my favorite films in the last couple of years or 3 years or so. So Adam Wingard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his writing duo, Simon Barrett, was also involved. So the pedigree is much better, but the box office returns don't fill me with a lot of hope.
But is the format also found footage? Do you know that?
It is, but it's multiple camera found footage.
All right. That is, okay. Yeah. So somehow there was like seven guys with cameras.
Yeah,
and
so
they lost
a much bigger group.
Yeah, they lost all the cameras.
All right. So that's it for this week's Check It Out. We got a hashtag Pod and Family promo, or a couple of them to play, including none other than your theme song, Rick. So you can enjoy listening back to that.
I've never heard it before. Let's play.
We interrupt this regularly scheduled program to introduce this random message.
What up, everybody? This your boy, B-Rob, the host of the Random Ramblers with Rob podcast. Join me once weekly as I talk about random stuff, I guess. So if you enjoy things out of the norm and anything like that, give me a listen. I'm on iTunes, Stitcher, and all those other cool places. Or if you like Walmart like I do, you can follow me on Instagram at randomramblingsw_Rob and follow my Walmart log, hashtag Walmart log. Matter of fact, if you want to find me, look up the hashtag RRRPC. That's 3 R's, PC. That stands for Random Ramblers with Rob podcast. It's random, I know. Also, if you want to find me on Twitter, you can hit me up at RRR_podcast. That's 3 R's underscore podcast. Also, go to my website, randomrobcast.com. That way, you can support the podcast by buying some merch. Hell, my wife even wrote a book. It's called Dark Deception. It's down there. Go to the homepage, scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see all that cool stuff. So, thank you. Appreciate you. Be random.
Hi, I'm Mark James from the popular Poop Culture Podcast. I'm here today to talk to you about a serious matter millions of Americans struggle with each and every day. Do you suffer from a moderate to severe disinterest in life? Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with social perplexia, a general knowledge deficiency? Then Poop Culture, with all the snatch 'em in, may be right for you. The Poop Culture Podcast gives you your minimum daily required allowance of popular culture, comedy, and general tomfoolery. Please operate heavy machinery while listening to Poop Culture. If you achieve an erection lasting more than 4 hours, then good for you. Side effects may include, but are not limited to, nausea, diarrhea, general sense of euphoria, hallucinations, side and stomach cramps, social gaping, anal leakage, and dry mouth. Listen to the Poop Culture podcast and gain the confidence you need to relate to people once again. No need to ask your doctor, because Poop Culture is right for you.
Poop Culture, yeah, it's a Poop Culture.
We got these taglines. I know you know it.
Yeah, bitch, I know it.
We know we got these taglines.
Taglines is our new-ish gaming segment where Wayne and I are challenging each other to guess the tagline or the movie attached to a particular tagline that we read out. Now, mm-hmm. This is playing for stakes.
Yep.
We are currently locked at 7-all, and by the last show of the year, whoever is in the lead will get to pick an entire show early in the new year and torment the other person.
Right, and I think I've been a bit of a bitch, like, lately, because I've been throwing Paul some fucking just no problem, man. He just nails them every
lollipops.
Single time. Yeah, and I think I might have gone easy this time, too, but I'm trying to stay relevant, so we'll see how this goes. We throw it into easy, medium, and hard.
We try to.
Then yep. Always get that shit wrong. So, okay, here we go. I'm gonna start with my easy one for Paul.
All right, let's do it.
Here we go. The tagline is, Earth, it was fun while it lasted.
Ah, I do know this one.
Fuck.
Rick, do you know it? Don't say it if you do.
No. Okay. I'm thinking, though.
It has an exclamation point in the title.
Oh, does it? Yes, I know.
Mars yeah. Attacks.
Yep.
You know what? I've got here Armageddon.
Oh, damn it.
Wrong. What?
No, Mars Attacks one is Nice Planet. We'll take
yes,
it.
Yes, you're right. It is. Oh,
yeah.
Burn.
You had me doubting it for a sec. No, okay.
Right. Armageddon.
Oh, wow. So you didn't get it. Okay, sweet. Good. That's the type I want to do, where you kind of
got too confident,
sure.
Got yep. Too cocky, got burned.
This Jesus, happened. How happened. Do you guys get the? What do you have, flashcards of taglines that you practice every night?
I think the idea is that we're trying to, when I pick them, I try and pick ones that you might be able to guess if you didn't know. So that's
yeah,
more
I,
interesting.
I, mean, I haven't gone. All of them are pickable.
Yeah.
Like, we could pick something like from, I don't know, whatever Desperately Seeking Susan was.
Yeah.
But we're never going to know that.
Exactly. So, yeah. We'll see. All right. Well, here's my medium one for you.
Okay.
Think you're alone? Think again.
Jesus Christ. That could be anything.
Now, I will give you a little hint. We, as I recall, we liked this movie, and it's like a 2000 movie.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oof. I should have got the first one, but this one.
Any thoughts, Rick?
Do you want me to say what my thought is?
Throw a guess.
Stranger Calls.
Not bad.
I'm guessing that's wrong.
No, that has to be wrong because it's too much of a horror for Wayne, and he wouldn't have liked it.
I will say that this movie, I'll give you a hint. This movie is sci-fi, and it may have a horror-ish element to it.
Okay. What was that film that was about VR and with directed by Catherine Bigelow, Strange Ways, Strange... Am I close here or should I...
No.
No, in that case, I don't know. What is
okay. it? The movie is Hollow Man.
Hollow Man.
Oh, oh
yeah.
Because
that's a hard one.
Because he's
though.
Invincible. And it's like, ooh,
I think
you know.
I've gone way too easy on you today.
Well, that was in... What year did that come out? I thought that came out in the 90s. It was
2000.
Yep. All right, shit. I'm 0 of 2. This is the Kevin worst Bacon. Effort I've ever done.
That's okay, man. Well, this is the hard one, so... Let's see how this goes.
Okay.
It's not who you love, it's how.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, okay, now I'll give you a fucking hit here. This is a movie by someone who I love, though his work has fallen of late.
Cameron Crowe?
No.
Someone you love, but whose work... Someone by? So the director is someone
the director, yes.
It's not who you love, but how.
It's a rom-com of sorts.
Oh, clearly.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, you've got
easy.
I should have got the first one, but these last two are rough. Go on, Rick, if you've got something.
No, I'm just running through movies in my head trying to fit it together.
It is tough because it's really generic, and that's why this is the hard one. No?
No, got
okay.
nothing.
All right. The movie is Chasing Amy.
Oh, shit.
Because it's...
Yeah, that was a clue that you gave there.
Yeah. I was going to say, I just mentioned him, and that would have given it right away.
Yeah, I still probably wouldn't have got it.
Okay, right, that was a hard one.
3. Now, here we go. And I've been too nice this time. Next time,
we'll see. I'll probably fuck this up.
The first one is so simple. Trapped in time, surrounded by evil, low on gas.
Oh, Army of Darkness?
Yeah, there you
go.
All right, hopefully, I've been just way too generous here. God damn.
No, we'll see, man.
One man's struggle to take it easy.
Oh, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Bang,
that one was easy. That one was easy.
Knocking it out of the park.
Okay.
And lastly, sorry, Rick, no chance for you to even guess. And
oh, that's all right.
This time, it's personal.
Ah, shit. Now, this could totally be anything. Well, I know aliens is this time it's war.
Mm-hmm.
So if this time it's personal, it sounds like an action movie.
Go with the sequel. Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving you any clues because you're already way ahead.
I know. Shit. I don't know. It could be anything. Let's go with... I know this is wrong. I don't know. Under Siege 2.
That's not a bad guess. It is Jaws the Revenge.
Of course. Yes. Yes. That's right. I remember. Actually, I think I have seen it and I'm like, that's a stupid text.
It was generic. It was generic. And yes, it was definitely the hardest.
No, fine. That's the hard one.
But well played. 9-7. You are now leading.
All right. Now there's
struck out.
We got a shot.
One. Oh, I'm embarrassed to be a film podcaster.
No, it's fine. This is an obscure segment.
Wayne's going to call me back on every episode now.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
It's having an audience. That's what did me in.
Uh-huh. You know we're better with that.
All right. Well, we'll get back to one more hashtag Podden Family promo, and then we'll be back with the meat of this week's show.
What's up, guys? This is Nick from the Epic Film Guys podcast, and you are listening to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews with your hosts, Paul and Wayne. And every single week, they take the best in television and film and also the worst, and they'll let you know what's worth your time so that you don't have to waste your time. And every single episode, you're not only going to laugh your ass off, but you're also going to learn a hell of a lot about a lot of different movies and a lot about how much Wayne loves testicles. So join them each and every week. You can follow them over on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. Find them on iTunes, or of course, you can always go to their website, TheCountdownMoviesAndTV.podomatic.com. Enjoy the show.
Even when the composer wasn't that great, they were like no-namers, but they come up with these iconic themes, which
even films
you
that
get
are complete,
in your head.
Even films that are complete shitfests. Like
garbage.
Stallone's,
yeah.
Like Stallone's Judge Dredd. Dun, 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 dun. Like, that theme is so iconic, it sticks
Don't
right in your
call that
head.
Movie shit. We both know that's your favorite movie of all time, all right?
It definitely is one of them. I will readily admit to that.
A little bit, let's put a little more lighthearted feel in this.
What are you doing down there, Judge Hershey?
Waiting for backup.
Hey, Diane Lane. Diane Lane, man.
The 2016 summer movie season, the season which is traditionally meant to be when the biggest tentpole films come out from studios, when we are meant to be wowed, when we get bang for our buck, when we leave that particular part of the year thinking, wow, isn't it great to be a movie fan?
Yeah.
The question is that the way we feel about this year?
Rick, what do you think of this season movie?
It was a tough season. It was definitely a tough season. I don't think it's the worst ever. It's not the best ever. It's more towards the bottom.
Yeah.
I'll go over that when I get to it. But I think it was a 2 out of 4.
I think,
middling at best. That's probably not a bad way to describe it. But Wayne?
Yeah, no, I was just thinking we should probably set the parameter here. It is the summer blockbuster season. So not if the movie turns up in 2016, like early on, that's not in this list. So there's not a lot of movies to choose from here. We're definitely going to cross up, I should think.
And we've been a little bit lax. I think we talked about this off air that, for example, Batman versus Superman came out in late March.
Late March, yeah.
Which is not summer.
Before summer, yeah.
Yeah, but...
You could argue.
Clearly a tentpole. It's clearly a blockbuster film. So we've kind of said that that might be a permissible. If people want to argue that way, they can.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be too particular about that. But at the same time, Deadpool, which was out in February, it was a huge hit for that time of year. I'm not bothering to include that in my list because that's winter.
Me too. Like if we were just doing like as early in the year as possible, my list begins and ends with Zoolander 2. But that's not in here. So... Yeah,
you mean it
Thank
begins
God.
With a are the best and the worst?
Yeah, well, no. My bad list is all three of them were that movie.
That's where you stop watching movies right then.
Oh,
2016.
God, it was horrible.
If it wasn't for the podcast, I think we all would have gone away and had a nice break from film after that.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was an issue.
Well, okay. I just think there were so many good films potentially.
Yes, it was the season of disappointment.
Yes.
Because you could have like, well, I'm really looking forward to this, and it sucked.
Yeah, and there was just blow after blow after blow, and we're going to talk about the three biggest blows.
And the three biggest sucks.
Yeah. But there was quite a few in there that were just meh. And for example, for me, it may be on your list, it's not on mine. Ghostbusters wasn't the train wreck that everyone wanted it to be, but it wasn't a good film either.
No, and that's the thing. A lot of them were, like you say, middling. Yeah. That one's not on my list either, but let's hear what is on people's lists.
All right, then. Well, maybe we should go to our guest. Rick, take us away with your number three worst film from 2016 summer season.
All right, so number three, I had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of Their Shadows. Let me just explain a little bit how I, like, if for people that have listened to my podcast or haven't before, I have a very simple rating system for major motion pictures. I don't believe in the whole, like, 6.5, or it's just too difficult. So I give, it's 1 out of 4. 1 is shit, 2's okay, 3 is good, and 4 is awesome. So all three of these in my bottom, they're all 1 out of 4.
Ooh, so shit.
Yep. Good, yep, good shit.
I didn't see this one, so what was terrible about it?
I mean, well, first off, I'm a fan of Stephen Amell. You know, I watch Arrow on the regular.
Yeah.
But, man, this guy was a sad Casey Jones.
Is that what he was doing?
They should just... Yeah, he was Casey. He was Casey Jones. Well, he's shit. In the movie. I mean, they should have just went and got Elias Koteas back. The guy that originally played Casey Jones back in the original and dust off the old hockey mask. I don't know. Like, since Transformers, any Michael Bay movie, it's Transformers. You know, it's all the same. And the thing that I dislike so much about the first reboot was, you know, they were Teenage Mutant Ninja Transformers. They weren't turtle. They were aliens, and the story changed for this.
That's right.
And he just kept the ball rolling on this one. It was just equally bad, so...
The first one, then, because I didn't see either of these.
I've seen the first one.
The first one. What did you guys think of the first one, and how does this one compare?
2 out of 4.
2 out of 4 for the first one?
Sounds... I would give it 2 stars. Maybe up to 2.5, but that's just because my expectations were so low, and I thought it was going to be a big stinking pile of shit. And most people think it was, the first one, but I just didn't care at all. I have no attachment to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's not like it's shitting on my youth or anything like that, so I just don't care.
Yeah, no, I've been
considering... Was that big in Australia?
Yeah, well, it was, but we're just a little bit older than you are, so we were just outside that window, I think, of...
I read a couple of comics. I liked the cartoon when I was a kid, and I really liked the first movie.
Way back in the day, 1989
or whatever. That one was great, I thought. So I haven't really waded into these ones yet. Yeah, all right.
All right, well, thank you for that, sir. Wayne, what's your third worst film from this season?
Okay, my third worst movie is Free State of Jones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is rough. I know that Paul liked this a lot more than I... Have you seen this one, Rick?
I just watched it today.
Okay. What did you think?
And I had two people from Free State of Jones were in the movie on our podcast.
Yes.
Wow.
Kerry Cahill and Thomas Francis Murphy were both on the podcast back in July. So I got a chance to watch it, but it's really slow.
Yeah,
it's
man. Really...
It was. It was slow. I guess I was ready for that.
But I mean, look, I fell asleep a couple of times in the movie. And that, like I said, for me, it's always, if the movie isn't entertaining me, if it's boring me, if I'm looking at my watch, that's actually worse than a bad movie that's bad because it's ridiculous. I would much rather like be reacting to a movie, even negatively, than just not giving a shit. Mm. It just took so long. This is the history of that. You know, of that time, and here's my points, and I'm going to make my points very, very obviously, and I'm going to show you stuff by just putting title cards on the screen saying, then this happened. I'm like, that's not movie making.
See, the one thing for this film, it's historically accurate. The director actually spent 10 years researching it, and he even put up a coexisting website that went along with the movie. So that part's really cool. If you're in a history buff, it's right there with the movie. It's just... Okay. Especially for me, after that initial scene where the guys are marching in and they're getting their heads blown off and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, this is going to be Saving Private Ryan.
Right.
And
then it never gets better than that.
Quite, No, it didn't quite get there.
It did feel like they blew their action budget on that scene.
Saying that, yeah, it was like, ooh, this is good, and then nothing for like 4 hours.
All right, well, that's disappointing and shitty on the relatively small independent film as well.
I know, not quite a blockbuster, but certainly within the release schedule.
I'm not going down the easy road. I'm going to take aim with my third worst film at what was meant to be a huge film, what was meant to be a wonderful follow-up to the two previous films. I'm talking about Bryan Singer's X-Men Apocalypse.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh.
Did you catch this one, Rick?
Yeah, matter of fact, this is my number two. Best of
actually,
was it my number two or three? It was my number two of the summer. However, I could see how it goes both ways in this movie. So
I have found that with researching this, yeah, lots of people's worst are other people's best.
Yes. We'll hear that on the listener feedback later on today as well. That, even I think is clearly the best film by far. Some people were shitting all over that one.
Yeah, so it's all perspective. So, yeah. Yes.
Look, I'll tell you what I didn't like about it, and Ricky, you may as well chime in with what you did.
Sure.
This was such a disappointment after the last two films in the series. It just was lazy. Apocalypse, and I don't read the comics, but Apocalypse is meant to be this grandiose, incredible villain who could do anything and was really going to challenge the X-Men, and he did none of that. It was such a, like, ho-hum, who cares? The energy was flat. Everybody was flat in the film. And there were just so many continuity errors from the previous films, not least of which being people had aged 20 years and look 2 years difference.
That's right.
It was just painful to
watch. I mean, you could try and explain that away with X-Men genes or something, but probably not.
Well, not. You can't in the case of Rose Byrne's character.
Yeah, okay, good point. Exactly.
So,
oh, that's right, I forgot. Yeah, yeah.
She was 20 years on.
Actually, that was, in the movie, I was sitting around going, so when is this now? And when, you know, a lot of things didn't connect.
And eventually, it was 1993 because I had the Return of the Jedi joke that the third film of the franchise
That was probably one of my favorite gag in the movie. I didn't hate it like you did, but I remember going to myself, oh, okay, well, it's, yeah, you know, I mean, I loved X-Men First Class.
Yes.
Like, I really loved it.
I liked that one. I liked Days of Future Past. And
yeah,
this
that
film.
Wasn't bad.
Look, I didn't hate it, but it was such a disappointment.
Mm.
Like, there were some moments that I thought, yeah, obviously the Quicksilver scene was pretty great.
Oh, he saves the movie.
Yeah.
That was the best bit in the movie, no doubt.
Yeah. And without that scene, if you took that out of there and didn't bother with, just had the Academy blow up and whatever else when they weren't in there, then it probably would be like a 1.5 out of 5 stars for me.
Mm.
But the other thing that really shattered me, the last thing, is this is meant to be a huge threat. This is meant to be the third film and possibly the final film in this X-Men trilogy. And I thought there was going to be some serious repercussions and consequences for the X-Men.
Yeah.
But really, nothing happened.
See, Paul just wants everyone to die fucking movie.
A couple of characters. Yeah. I mean, we got one possible death. One. It was just like, who? Come on. Seriously? Give it away now. You can let go of one of these 700,000 characters. Anyway, that's my rant. So what did you like about it, Rick?
Yeah.
I liked the fact that the movie was just, it was fun to watch. But I do agree with you that, you know, Apocalypse was supposed to be this mega villain. And it was just way too easy for him to lose. And, you know, he put together that little group at the end. But the one thing that I didn't like, and it was really hard. Listen, this whole summer, to make a top three was really
absolutely
tough. Absolutely. And out of my top three, even though I had it number two, and I don't even know if I put mine in order, because I'm thinking back to it now, if it was supposed to be two or three, I could see how it can go either way, but I really liked it because I thought it was fun. Like, I didn't think about anything else for the 2 hours I sat in the movie. The action was good, but I am getting a little tired now of the whole superhero thing. It's kind of giving me a little haze, you know?
Oh, like, yeah.
I'm tired
a lot
of seeing
folks feel
cities
that way.
Get destroyed. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of all the same.
Yeah, I will say, though, that the action in it was really, really good. Like, the way it was shot, the bit with Olivia Wilde and the low camera angle and stuff like that.
Oh, when she landed.
Yeah, that was really cool. And it was in the trailer, but when I saw it, I was still impressed. So, it was a well-shot movie. It was just, I don't know, poorly scripted or something. It was just their story problems, I think.
There was a lot of problems, I think.
Yeah.
But look, actually, like you said, some people think it's good, it's a decent follow-up, and it's not a terrible film, it's just such a massive disappointment.
It should have
been so much more.
And also, I can see this getting on someone's best of list, like you say, just by virtue of there was a lot of shit that came out this summer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Things that you wouldn't put on any good list.
Elimination.
Like, well, yeah, exactly. So, no, fair enough.
All right. Well, we are back to you, Rick, for your number two worst film.
All right. So number two shit film of the summer. I can't believe none of you guys said this. I thought this was going to come out of Paul's mouth right there. Was Independence Day Resurgence.
My number two.
And my number two as well. All right. Let's talk about this movie.
Well, you know, first off, if Roland Emmerich's job was to tarnish a classic,
yep,
he succeeded. So bravo to him.
Absolutely.
Five times over.
I don't know. I remember how excited I was about the first Independence Day and how much I liked it. For this now to happen, would you say you were just crazy disappointed? Were you expecting a lot?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like, all the excitement, like you were saying, the buildup over, almost 20 years? Or was it 20 years?
Yes, but yeah,
it came out in 96, right? Yeah, so 20 years, they just squandered it, and it was a massive pile of shit. You know? They went out of their way. They built this website to develop this story of how Will Smith got killed off in a training accident. You know, basically, they couldn't pay him, but hey, Will Smith would not have saved this movie, so bravo to you for not being in this.
Oh, yeah.
All the new characters were... like just awful
shit. Paper thin.
Liam
paper
Hemsworth
thin.
And Jesse Usher.
Shit.
These guys are awful. Shit. Like, seriously, if you can't get Chris Hemsworth in the movie, don't call his brother. That guy sucks. I haven't seen a good movie that guy's been in yet.
I have heard from some chicks that he's in a movie called The Dressmaker, where they found him particularly tasty. But obviously I haven't seen
Australian it. Australian film with Kate Winslet.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes kind
pass.
Of
sense. Pass. Period piece.
Didn't think about it.
No, sorry. Not for me.
No. You know what? Everything was huge in this movie. Like all the explosions were bigger. The ships were bigger. Everything. It was all dialed up. But then there was no underlying interesting story to back everything up and actually make you care. So the thing is, it was unremarkable for something that should have been crazily remarkable.
Yeah. I think I was a little bit wooed by, we saw this in an advanced screening and it was bit of hoo-ha, and I got sucked into it a little bit when I reviewed it, because thinking back over it, it's gotten worse and worse and worse in my head.
Oh, context is massive when you're watching movies. Yeah. So if you attend a, like, one of those things where the actors are actually there.
Not that they were for this film.
But like, I've been to a couple, like in New York and stuff like that, where, you know, the actors are all there and they do a Q&A, and you're far more inclined to actually like the movie. I saw Special Correspondents.
Yeah.
And Ricky Gervais and all that was there and stuff, and it was like, I knew when I was watching, I was like, this is pretty average, man. But, like, you enjoy the process more, so you remember it more fondly.
Yeah, yeah. Look, Liam Hemsworth actually probably was in the screening that we went to, just no one recognized him.
They're like, do you have a brother?
It's exactly what Wayne just said. The story was blah. The acting was bad. The character development was bad. You know, and not only, like I was just saying, the new characters were shitty, the old characters are now shitty. Like,
amen.
Goldblum and Pullman was
Dutcher
sucked.
This was an absolute case of, let's just throw everything at the wall and hopefully some of it will stick.
That's right.
And very, none of it did.
Stuck. Yep, that was it.
Look, Judd Hirsch's character driving random kids on a bus.
In a bus.
For no apparent reason, and converging in the same place because, well, we just need this,
I know,
A and B and C plots to all come together at once. Just, what were they thinking?
When they were doing it, I was like, I bet you they're going to meet up. There it is. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, we all agree.
Wait, didn't this happen in the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're so right, Rick, about the returning characters. Like, Jeff Goldblum, like, he should have been the saving grace of this movie, and even he just brought nothing. His character was so neutered compared to how...
Yeah.
Awesome he was in the
And that's
first
the
one.
Difference when you come back 20 years later. It was so much easier to please us 20 years ago. Now you've got to pull something out of your hat. Like, and it's just, yeah, you can't just do the same thing. So, all right, no, good call, man. Good
Independence
call,
Day returgence for all of us.
Returgence.
To use the joke, which I've seen around many, many times. All right, well, I guess straight back to you for your number one then, Rick. What's the worst? What was the biggest piece of shit from 2016 summer?
All right, my worst one is a film I call Jason Bourne, Ambient.
I missed this one.
We missed this as well. Okay. What was so terrible about it?
Oh, my God.
Really?
I loved all the – have you guys seen all the other Bourne movies?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Big fans.
All right. So, yeah, I love all the Bourne movies, even the Jeremy Renner one from a couple
years
ago.
Yes, that
like
wasn't bad.
It was all right.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. But this movie is just so downright boring, man. I mean, it took me – I swear, it took me 3 tries to finish it. Every time I'd start it, I'd fall asleep.
Really?
I'd be like, I'm going back. I'll watch it again. You know. So if you're looking for a good late night movie that'll help you get your Z's, this movie is where it's at. You know, wait for it to come out on VOD.
I'm surprised to hear that this is on your worst, man. I never saw it, but
worst,
I didn't expect.
The worst.
Yeah, the worst, exactly.
I couldn't stay awake, man. I could not stay awake. The third time I watched it, I struggled. I had like about 40 minutes left in the movie. I struggled through those 40 minutes just to make it to the end. And although I felt like a bit of accomplishment for staying awake the entire time all the way to the credits, it was really hard to do. It's a totally listless movie. It's okay. Just, I don't know. It killed it for me. Killed the whole franchise for me.
Wow, I'm definitely gonna watch it at some stage.
We'll have to get it before the end of the year.
I'm surprised. Yeah. Is it a long movie or is it?
I'm sure it is.
Was it just too long?
If I had to put it together, I'd say it was like 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah.
That's pretty much average.
It is about average these days, but you need to be real entertaining for 2 hours.
Mm. But there's weird things about the movie too that are just, they try to like dumb the movie down for, I don't know. Obviously, if you've seen all the Bournes before, you know what it's about.
Yep.
And this guy's going, he's trying to find this backstory. He's hacking into CIA computers, and the CIA encrypted computers have fucking folders that aren't even encrypted that say like Jason, look here on them, and like, you know, they're all lined up. Like it'll say like every single name. It's just, I don't know. Just
poorly executed.
Not good. If I had one more thing, if I had to put it in to movie terms, it's the Rocky Five of
I'll
the boys.
Say no more. Except Wayne likes Rocky
Five. I know. I'm the only man on the planet who liked Rocky Five simply because he never got into the ring. So I'm like, ooh, he's having a street fight. I was a young, impressionable man.
Yeah. Okay. All right, then. Thanks for that, Rick. Your number one, Wayne.
My number one, it's a little bit contentious here because it was actually released a long time ago but only hit the States release in April 2016. It's a movie we talked about before. It's Mr. Right.
Mm.
Oh, come on. That's okay, right?
Well, it didn't really come out in the movies, did it?
If it was a release date.
Because it was garbage.
I've got a release date here, but it's, yeah, I mean, look, let's just assume that this is something that comes
straight to VOD.
Really?
Yeah, what?
Shit,
who is in
that.
This?
Sam Rockwell.
Ah.
Anna Kendrick, Tim Roth, like Anson Mount, and RZA from Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, nice.
Not that that's like the top
must
of the list.
Must be good.
But, yeah. It's about, Sam Rockwell is a hitman. It's also a love story.
Oh, fuck.
And he does weird shit. Now, I said this when we reviewed it, but basically, usually, Sam Rockwell dancing in a movie, I give it a point for that, because I love watching him dance,
it's
man.
Like a 1 out of 10.
Kind of. He got, like, in even Iron Man 2, which was a piece of shit, I have watched him dancing on stage a couple times, because that's, like, my favorite parts of the movie. So, I'm like, hey, Sam Rockwell's dancing. It's how bad could it be? It can be this bad. Because what happens is he dances after having killed someone or dances up to people to kill them. Absolutely the wrong treatment for that. He needs to dance for dancing.
What?
It's weird.
You gotta
and
see this movie, man, just to understand.
Anna Kendrick, whom I usually find quite charming and cute. I know
nice
you don't.
Tits.
Yeah. Exactly. All those things. But she was annoying in this movie. She's just annoying. The way she reacts to shit is not what, if you see people getting killed, you don't react like that. Or if you do, you don't, it's just like, it's trying to be quirky and it fails on every count. So it's really like, it's horrible to watch and it's horrible to see him do stuff like this.
I'm being very quiet because we're going to talk about this film at the end of the year. In the worst of 2016
yeah,
list.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll save my vitriol for then.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, Rick, it's absolutely not worth checking out. Unless you're looking
to...
I was
going to say, I'll check it out.
Yeah, you get that now. Because you're like, this is so bad, I got to see it. Yeah, no, it happens like that. So it's not enjoyable to watch. The whole thing is a turd.
All right. Well, let's get away from Sam Rockwell's dancing.
Why not?
And talk about my worst film of the summer. It was Now You See Me 2, which I don't know if you saw this one, Rick, but...
I didn't.
Just terrible. Just a terrible, terrible sequel to a film which was a surprise hit that fell apart in its very final reveal, the first one, and then they just took this one and ran with it in a direction that makes absolutely zero sense if
That's
you think
right.
about it for more than 1 second.
I thought about putting this one in my list, and the truth is I just enjoyed it far more, even though I didn't like it.
Fair enough.
Than the other one.
Fair enough. Look, I can see people going, well, it's fun, and just, I mean, they'd say the same thing. Mr. Right, probably. Just disengage brain, but...
No, Mr. Right was painful to watch. This Now You See Me 2 at least had some cool, like, it had, like, Daniel Radcliffe playing, ironically, the bad guy, but he's kind of a magician, but a bad one.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of a play on, Harry Potter. But I think the real problem with this was, apart from all the things you said, Lizzie Kaplan is replacing, what's her name, Isla Fisher. And I found out it was because Isla Fisher had a bun in the oven. It wasn't because they didn't
want
to sign her or whatever.
To be.
Yeah. So
Craigslist.
So, but she, like, just over and over, pisses you off with the dumb shit she says. She's trying to crack on to James Franco. It's really wooden. And I don't know. The effects and all that are fine, but it doesn't come together like as a movie. At least in the first one, everything was enjoyable. And then the shitty, shitty ending. I still liked it, and I couldn't explain why. This one here has a lot of spectacle as well. And they do sort of explain some of the tricks.
Most
but you
of them
have,
I don't explain.
Yeah, you
most
have to resign have to yourself
like,
to...
You know, I'm going to fall backwards into a puddle of water and disappear.
Yeah, and but that's it. Like, that was like... Okay.
A puddle of water that's, you know, 2 inches deep, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And that, so it's basically, it's all CGI, which yep. anyone can do.
And it all depends on everything having to come together perfectly. Like, if one little butterfly beats its wings in the Congo...
That's right.
Then this whole plan falls apart.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's just terrible.
And the scale is so big as well. Like, their big reveals and stuff are in front of, like, what seems to be millions of people, thousands
of them.
Yeah. And
on
it's
New
like.
Year's Eve.
And I just, I'm like, dude, people aren't that interested in you. You no. can't just whip up, like, this crowd in, like, sort of a minute after. I don't know. It's played bad. It's
so
played
stupid.
Bad.
And the bad guys are so stupid. And everyone is so stupid. And this film is so stupid.
So stupid. Even the first one felt like I was watching an infomercial.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But I think the first one made the deal with you that this is kind of just sit back and listen, look at this. The other one, yeah, it missed that. It missed that. So there you are.
All right. Well, let's now get away from the stomach-churning anger and move into the the nice, light, positive discussion.
Somewhat positive, yes.
What's we know one of your, is it number three then or number two, X-Men Apocalypse, Rick?
Well, we'll go with number three was right. X-Men Apocalypse.
So we'll skip around through you back to Wayne for the okay. best third best film from this season.
Great. So this, my number three is a sleeper. We mentioned it briefly off air. The movie is Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, this one is one of those movies that I thought was great and no one went to see.
Yeah. Like made less than 10 mil.
Yeah. It did not do well. And it's really, I don't know. I actually think that this comes on my list because when I saw it, I was really impressed. Saw it again after that and couldn't get a lot of the jokes out of my head. This is Popstar is stars Andy Samberg and the rest of the Lonely Island. It's about Andy Samberg, who is like the sort of biggest, one of the biggest pop stars on Earth, and his whole thing where he's like, you know, his new album is shit and that type of thing. But all of the musical performances are really good and really funny. I don't know. I think that there were lots of word gags, sight gags, this sort of thing. All of them pretty much hit. Which is unusual for a comedy. Mm. So I know no one else would put this on their best of list, but I was pure, just delighted okay. when I saw it.
All right, my number three is one that might get on your list, Wayne, and obviously, Rick, don't know if you've seen it, but it's Shane Black's The Nice Guys.
Yes.
So $50 million film, so it wasn't hugely budgeted, and unfortunately it was also a dud. It didn't make enough money.
Mm.
We're probably never going to see these characters back again, which is a real shame because it was a lot of fun, this movie, and aside from one or two moments of, yeah, this didn't fit for me in the film, I was genuinely entertained. It's good fun, a lot of great back and forth. It's not quite Riggs and Murtaugh level, but it's pretty damn close.
Did you see this one, Rick?
Yep, I did.
What do you think?
I thought it was fun. It was a fun movie. I wouldn't put it in my top three,
fair
but
enough.
I thought it was a good movie for the summer. The I could see what you're saying about, you know, the whole Lethal Weapon thing, how like the buddy comedy action thing.
Yep.
Definitely the guys had chemistry.
Totally.
And, you know, Russell Crowe was awesome in this, though. And what's the other dude's name?
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. Just playing this stupid... You know, detective that just figures things out without figuring them out.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was a good movie. Yeah, I liked it.
He's got comedy chops, Ryan Gosling. Yeah, I think that's what I was impressed with.
Yeah.
It's not on my list, but it would have been like four or five. Shane Black movies, I love them because of all the cool, like, glamoury type LA, you know, that shit. It's really cool. It's almost like the funny version of a like LA Confidential kind of, like, you know, that kind of thing. So I love that part of it, and I enjoyed every part of this movie. Yeah, like you said, it wasn't up to, it probably just didn't crack the funniness enough, like that it's, you know, Lethal Weapon or that kind of thing. So that's why I just made it not off my list.
Yeah,
but it was a good movie, and it's definitely just pure enjoyment.
Yeah, cool. All right, that's it. So let's move around to you, Rick. Number two.
All right, number two. Hopefully you guys have this. You didn't say you hated it. So my number two movie was Suicide Squad.
Ah, very interesting.
Wow.
I don't care what anybody says. I thought the movie was awesome. Oh, Adam Iskey, I give it a 4 out of 4. You know?
Whoa.
Everybody
wow.
And their mother, everybody and their mother shit all over.
Everyone shit on this movie.
Everybody.
Were you, I mean, are you much with the comic book type things? Did you have any knowledge of these characters before you walked in?
Yeah. Actually, I have the original comic. So
ah, okay.
Here's the thing with comic movies. nowadays. So these guys only have 2 hours to jam everything into it. So I've kind of accepted the fact that they're not going to be exact and they're going to have to meddle with the story just to fit everything in. And that's fine. You know, I've grown accustomed to that. And, you know, we have like four friggin' superhero movies a month. So, you know, you have to become comfortable with that. But, you know, I just grew up on cheap thrills and action movies, and this movie focused on action, you know, and they had the only thing it didn't have that it maybe would have made number one. And I guarantee when the Blu-ray comes out, it's going to be like a 5 hour long Blu-ray and they'll have an extended version of the beginning where they go over the characters. Thought they kind of rushed through the beginning just slightly. But I think once it got started, it was a fun movie. I don't know how people just obliterated Suicide Squad. I thought the imagery was great. I thought Jack Courtney was awesome.
The what? What?
Jack Courtney was awesome.
I thought he played an awesome role in this movie.
He wasn't. We were saying this. It's not his fault. He did what he could with that. But maybe there's some kind of, you know, like, because we're from Australia, we see a character called Boomerang, Captain Boomerang, and he throws boomerangs.
And does nothing else.
But, I mean, I think my
He drinks beer.
Drinks beer, of course, yeah. My issue was more that, and this is, like you say, it's by virtue of the script and how they pull together the story and they have to put everything in. But the idea behind the movie was that the big bad woman, what was her name? I'm talking about the African-American woman.
Oh, Viola Davis.
Yes, her. Yeah. So the whole point of this movie is that she is putting together a Suicide Squad of a motley crew of people with powers and stuff like that because she says, what if Superman goes bad? Okay? So she's like, I'm basically trying to safeguard against what happens in that eventuality.
Amanda Wallace is her name,
right? So she puts together a group of people, including Jai Courtney, who is going to do what to fucking Superman? He throws boomerangs. And even Harley Quinn. All she is hot. That won't kill Superman.
Crazy hot.
Crazy hot, yeah. Well, so,
maybe it will.
Well, you know, shit. It seems like a Hail Mary. Exactly. And I mean, the other guys, some go fire and this and that. And okay, you could argue that we would use that against Superman. So that whole premise.
Can you throw boomerangs?
I can, but they don't return.
Okay, well, in other words, he's got that stick over us. So. Yes.
But yeah, I mean, and that was it. I actually, to take your point though, I actually liked the beginning of the movie. I liked all that. You know, you're saying they were rushing through introducing the characters. I agree, but it looked nice. So that was something for me.
Yeah, I thought the imagery was great.
Yeah. So the action itself towards it, it was just cut funnily, edited funnily.
Oh, it's a terrible edit. It's been totally studio-fied.
Yeah.
It's clearly able to see that. And I'm amazed that you loved it so much, Rick, but at the same time, I didn't hate it the way most people seem to. I thought it was better than Batman versus Superman, and therefore...
It was a lower disappointment than Batman versus
Superman. It's not on either of my lists. It's somewhere in the middle, but I'm glad you dug it and enjoyed it so much.
No, good to hear a counterpoint.
It's just an action movie. It's an action movie. That was the annoying thing, them continually calling themselves bad guys.
And not being bad guys, yeah.
Oh, they get
and
so
not
nice
really
towards
being
the
bad
end.
Guys, yeah.
Yeah, but you got to move.
It was fun.
Yeah,
no, okay, fun movie.
All right, well,
nice one. Okay, well, my number two is Sausage Party. Okay, and I'm not the guy who picks animated movies, you know, and puts them anywhere in particular. I actually avoid them because I just don't really care. But Sausage Party was just a new kind of wonderfully offensive animated feature. The fact that they made so many dick and pussy or whatever jokes all the way through it, each one worked for my money. But then they actually did pay attention to the fact that you need an underlying meaning behind the story, and that was basically that they were trashing religion, which I love to do.
Yep.
So I think it just spoke to me so many times, and I was just having such a good time in the movie. And I saw it in advanced screening.
Yep.
Were you there with me?
Yep.
Yeah, you were. Okay. And it was everyone erupted when they were supposed to erupt. Definitely helped the movie. Yeah, I don't know.
Arguments. My number four. So the nice guys just knocked it out of my list.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Very funny film, well worth it. I'm assuming you haven't seen it, Rick, or you're being quiet because you
haven't seen it. Okay. I'm waiting for that one to come out on VOD. Yeah. Like he said, I'm just not big on cartoons, but it sounds funny. It sounds hilarious.
Honestly, by virtue of its format, it probably bumped it up a little because I'm sort of geared to not really care about animated features. And then this thing surprises me so much, that's why it comes to number two on my list.
Very nice. Okay. My number two is one that you did see, Wayne, at an advanced screening, and I didn't get to see until regular period of time, which is odd because it's a horror. It's The Conjuring 2.
Ah. No, that was a good movie.
As far as sequels go, given that there is, generally speaking, a law of diminishing returns that exists with these things, this would be one of these very small exceptions to the rule, where I'm not saying it's better than the original, but I thought it was about on par.
Mm.
And it has a couple of the most unsettlingly creepy scenes that I've seen as a horror fan in many years. And though it's a little long and it does get a little slow at times, that's the only complaint I could make about this film, because the acting's solid, the effects are solid, are excellent. It's a budgeted horror film, and James Wan knows how to direct these things.
He does. He's from our hometown too.
And it's, yeah, like I said, it's genuinely creepy. So,
did you see this one?
I didn't, but now that you both said that it was good, I will see it. Because every time a horror movie comes out with a sequel, I just won't see it in the movies, because usually they suck.
Yeah.
But you guys are selling it pretty hard. So
you saw the first one?
I did.
Yeah.
And I liked it.
Yeah, if you like the first one, then you should like this one.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's basically all I'll say. I don't want to build it up any more than that, because otherwise you'll probably hate it on expectation alone.
Yep.
All right, well, this is it then. Business end of proceedings. The best film from the summer season. Rick, what's yours?
All right, so I went a little bit out of the norm with this one, and I watched it again today just to make sure that I gave this a 4 out of 4, and I did. With number one, I went with The Shallows.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good flick. I enjoyed it too.
I think there's a bit of love for that on Twitter, The Shallows. I've heard a couple of people say that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't see this movie. Paul, you did, obviously.
Yes. Yep. It was pretty high up on my last 10. Yeah. For what it was, good film.
Yeah.
Very good.
What did you like about it, man?
It's the best shark movie since Jaws. Period.
Wow.
I mean, it's not.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, there hasn't really been any good movies shark-wise since Jaws that I can think of off the top of my head. Can you think of anything that was... Nothing was close to this. I thought this was great. I mean,
Shark Night.
Blake Lively. Which one?
Shark Night.
Oh. Sharknado. I mean, they're most of them suck. They're just awful freaking movies.
The Thomas Jane one that was.
Oh, Deep Blue Sea. I did like
Deep Blue Sea. Yeah. See, the great part about this, number one, Blake Lively is super hot. So let's begin there. You got Blake Lively in a bathing suit, but it's not all about that. It's just about a chick. She's just having a bad day all around. It's one of the worst days in the history. I mean, this girl goes to a beach and she's basically attacked by a shark. Anything that can go wrong goes wrong for her. And I don't want to give away too much if you haven't seen it, because I don't think it made that much money. So maybe a lot of people didn't see it. It's just a great movie. And there's no cast. It's all Blake Lively, pretty much. There's a handful of people in that are just...
Yep.
Kind of supporting roles, but man, it's no Blue Crush. It's more along the lines, if you had to think about it, when I was watching the movie, it made me more think of like Castaway or maybe even like 127 Hours. It's just like a perseverance movie. And I thought it was
good,
awesome.
Good call.
The setting was great. Everything about it. I loved it. Underrated.
For mine, it was a little bit spoiled by the oh shit moment of the trailer. Because if I hadn't have seen that moment in the trailer and then saw it at the movies, that would have been like, holy fuck.
Yeah, I haven't seen... I can't remember anything from the trailer.
If you're at all interested in what Rick said, don't go and watch the trailer now. Just catch the movie.
Yeah.
Because I think you'll be blown away by the particular sequence I'm talking about.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think I will see this one now.
It's well worth it. And I agree with just about everything Rick says there. The other added element for us was it was shot largely in Australia.
Yeah.
So it was shot mostly on a soundstage, but then there was a beach that they picked off the coast of New South Wales somewhere, I think.
Okay.
To represent
which
the beach.
Is supposed to be in Mexico.
Yeah.
Stones through.
So it's very technically accomplished film as well, and it doesn't outstay its welcome. It's about 89 minutes maybe, and it's just bang, you're in, and
that's
then you're
cool.
done. And that's perfect for what this kind of film is. And I love what you said there about it being a perseverance film. I hadn't thought of it that way, but that's perfect.
Single location type movies like this, if they get it right, they get it real right, like Phone Booth and stuff like that, I think. So, yeah. Okay, good call.
All right. Thank you, Rick.
Nice. My number one, no prizes for guessing what I'm going to pick.
I have the same one, because, except I didn't give it 5 stars, but I did give it a high rating.
Okay, so it's Captain America Civil War.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. So, maybe a bit of context with this one. I had just come back from being very sick overseas, and I missed this the advanced screening because I was in the States. And then I came back and just saw it on my own. I had a couple of days left before I had to go back to work. And so this was purely a me afternoon. Check out the movie. I'm blown away.
Mm.
I thought that everything that didn't work in Batman vs. Superman worked here.
Yeah.
This you know, making a movie that's PG and also interesting and meaning something huge. I think the thing I walked away from this movie with was, this wasn't just a good superhero movie, because God knows they've been slammed lately. People are starting to get fatigued from superhero movies and stuff. Mm. But this wasn't just a superhero movie that was good. This was a good movie. I thought that this held its own. Yes, you need the reference from the previous movies and that sort of thing. And yes, it's kind of Avengers 3 or whatever. But every second of this was great. The Spider-Man bit didn't overplay their hand, didn't bother telling you how it happened. Everyone knows how it happened. That whole thing with Tony Stark and trying to bone Marissa Tomei kind of thing. And it was just purely enjoyable. And that bit in the movie came at the stage where you really needed some lightheartedness after like all these people getting shot down and all these characters are hating each other, but you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know, man. This is definitely my favorite movie of the summer. I am surprised it is also yours.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
You give it 4 stars. That's pretty good for me.
Yeah. No, so, I get it.
But Rick, you've been pretty silent. Did you see it? Not interested? Didn't like it?
I did. I saw it. Again, it's a tough summer, and this just missed my list. And I went back and forth between this one and Apocalypse at number 3. And the only reason I picked Apocalypse over this movie was I'm Avengered out.
Yep.
Fair enough.
I think the first Avengers to me won't be topped. No matter how hard they try, who they try to throw in the fold, I don't think it's going to happen. I've seen enough cities get obliterated. And for the most part, you know, like, you know, the villain is eventually going to succumb to the superheroes. So I'm getting a little bit like fatigue, like he was just saying, what Wayne was just saying. So I didn't put it in there for that, but I thought it was good. I mean, it was a 3 out of 4 on my scale.
Sure. That's
pretty
big.
Didn't give it an awesome. I gave it a good. They're getting kind of long too. Like the whole thing too. Like
that was another thing. This is a long movie, and I didn't mind. So it pushes
147 minutes. This film.
Yeah.
So it is a long film. You're 100% right. But I tend to agree with most of what Wayne said, that it's engaging despite its length. There's a lot of amazing scenes in it which really keep you going. There are some stakes here in a different way that we haven't seen before. So that's where it combats the fatigue for me, that seeing superheroes fighting each other for reasons that make sense, unlike Batman versus Superman.
That's right. And in fact, I think that I should say that the Captain America series, so the 3 they've released, pound for pound, enjoyment for enjoyment, I like it better than the Nolan Batmans.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, I love the Nolan Batmans, don't get me wrong. But this, because these were pure enjoyment all the way through and very well written, very well acted, it's just a slightly bigger than the Nolan Batmans for me.
Okay.
I know, which is huge.
A genuine surprise.
Because all of them have been good, Len. Like, with the Nolan
Batmans. The first one was okay.
Yeah. Well, see, the first one, I was surprised how much I liked it, because I didn't even know how it would work. It's set mostly in the past, and then at the end he comes into, you know, but all of the things they did where he was initially like a shill for the propaganda of the war and that sort of thing, those were all handled really well, because you were sort of looking at him going, oh, shit. This guy's supposed to be the bomb, but then people are throwing stuff at him on stage, and they all went places I didn't expect it to, so it was cool. So I like the whole trilogy.
All right. Well, there it is. Our number one is Captain America Civil War, and Rick's number one is The Shallows. If you haven't checked out those films, there is this week's recommendations for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to Twitter then, and the fairly significant amount of feedback that we've gotten back, starting with regular contributor, good friend of the show, Scott L. at SurfMadScott. Worst, X-Men, Independence Day, and this absolute piece of shit, Now You See Me Too. What a waste of time. Best, The Nice Guys, Sausage Party, and Captain America Civil War.
So
pretty in keeping with my list there. Then from the aforementioned Pat and Jason Binge, at Pat and Jason, Best, Hell or High Water, which hasn't even been released here in Australia
yet. I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah.
And Worst, IDR, so bad, I won't even dignify the title by spelling it out.
Popular view.
Bravo.
Yeah. Mike Siebert, at Mad Radio KGRG, I actually really like Star Trek Beyond, movie of the summer for me.
Wow.
Last Take Podcast, Civil War, of course, but a close second is Kubo and the Two Strings, which I'm genuinely interested in seeing.
Yeah, because the animated feature
animated stop motion one. Media Nerds, our friend Dan at Vadiboncoeur. Haven't seen much this summer, so I'll do best two, Midnight Special and Civil War. Worst two, The Angry Birds Movie and Batman v Superman.
I was wondering if that would come up on anyone's worst of list.
Speaking of the worst for Batman v Superman, from Saturday Detention at the Detention Pod. That's another podcast out of Perth I've discovered in the last week. They, as I said, Batman v Superman. And their best, surprisingly, Ghostbusters.
Oh, surprise.
Are you guys shitting on Batman v Superman Extended also?
I saw that. the extended one, and I maintained it was about a 20% better movie than Batman vs. Superman. It absolutely explains a lot of things that were jagged in the first cut. It is still, for me, not saving the movie, but it does make it a better movie. But yeah, still not there.
The What the Fork show at my WTF show. These three listed best: Star Trek movie, pop star movie, there you go, Wayne.
Yay.
And Green Room, a film which I've seen and reviewed and wasn't too bad at all.
It was all right. Green Room.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as horror movies go, it was all right.
Yeah.
It was original.
Ah, I'd go with that too. That's
horror
fair.
Movie. Got it.
J.M. Brady at J.M. Brady 360. Best: Marvel Civil War, because I had to see what happens. Worst: X-Men Apocalypse. Didn't live up. Yeah, so getting a little bit of hatred there. You're standing alone at the moment, Rick.
I don't know why people hate it so much. Why do they hate it so much?
Yeah. I think they wanted so much.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yeah, I think so. In Session Film, another hashtag Pod and Family podcast. Best: Civil War, again. And Hunt for the Wilder People, which I really like that movie too.
Yeah, a lot of people like that show.
And worst: ID4 Resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
Mike got back in again, Mike Siebert, and said, look, as it was released in March, I refuse to call Batman vs. Superman a summer movie, but if I did, that would be my vote for worst.
Worst, yeah, okay. So someone's in there.
That Film Stew podcast, again, another Perth bunch of boys. Best: Captain America Civil War. Worst: here you go, Rick, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows.
Boom.
There it is. I'm telling you, that was a turd.
Well, turd. Must have been. The So Wizard podcast, at So Wizard podcast. Independence Day Resurgence was a mistake. It was nothing but trash. Yeah, harsh words. But he then went on to say Joey from that show, Civil War and Kubo were both awesome. And he also shat a little bit on Ghostbusters and Secret Life of Pets through a very amusing gif.
Okay. Yeah.
This is not going to translate to a podcast.
No, it won't. No.
Our friends, Epic Film Guys, Nick, has weighed in with the best, being the nice guys. Worst: Independence Day. Giant flaming heap of utterly hideous monkey shit with extra shit sauteed in shit.
They absolutely eviscerated that movie on their show.
And then again, not to rub your face in it, Rick, but he came out with a second tweet. Don't forget X-Men: Bryan Singer used the pages of this script with Apocalypse Development to masturbate onto a teddy bear. Apocalypse.
Well, that would be good then, right?
Yeah, well.
I think that made sense, but you guys got it. Okay, Cadaver Cast, mentioned them at the top of the show. We didn't see many, but Al and I really liked Civil War. I also suffered through Batman vs. Superman, and he did throw in, and I quite enjoyed Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
Nesta Antonio Gomez said, Pete's Dragon was the worst, Sicario the best, and then I queried him on that. He said, oh, yeah, that was last year. Actually, Civil War also seemed to me so bad, I did not even make the effort to go and see it.
Wow. Wait a minute. If you haven't seen it.
Yeah. Rough. Okay. Jennifer Hicks at Jennifer L. Hicks, who, by the way, is our first listener to have bought one of our new t-shirts.
Ooh.
And displayed it proudly across Twitter this week.
I shall be busting that on Facebook.
Thank you so much for that, Jen. She got a nice purple version of our t-shirt.
Nice.
She said, does Civil War count as a summer release? I vote for that. Clearly, it does, according to us.
Ping.
Meerkats at Joe Jcast. Best: Julieta. Never even heard of that one.
No.
High Rise, which I've seen and disliked immensely.
Well, I've heard a lot of bad things about that movie.
Ghostbusters and Civil War. Worst: Suicide Squad. So it's not your day, Rick. Batman versus, versus Superman, both unworthy of the word movie.
Oh, it's a little harsh, but okay.
Troy Spinner, one of the hosts of the Comic Confidential podcast. Great show from the eastern states of Australia. If Deadpool makes the summer cut, then that for best. If not, Civil War. All right, so we're accepting Civil War there, Troy.
Mm-hmm.
Worst: ID4 was a steaming pile of shit. Boy, that really did catch me.
I'm waiting for the person to tell you ID4 was good.
Yeah,
I don't know if that actually happens.
No, everyone butt raped that show.
The Fortnightly Forum: best, Captain Fantastic or Hunt for the Wilder People. Does anybody know what Captain Fantastic is?
I do not. Rick?
I've never heard of that.
No, okay, I've not.
Well, I have to do some research on that.
Mm-hmm.
Worst: Suicide Squad. I haven't seen that many bad things, to be honest.
Really?
Just Suicide Squad.
A bit of a shut-in.
I'd really like to see what people really hate about Suicide Squad.
This is the same problem with Batman vs. Superman. It was just edited badly or weirdly. That's really it. Like, the actual movie itself could have been better, I think, if it's sort of just disjointed and you don't... Like, the story, for me, didn't make as much sense as it needed to. If you're looking for, like, meaning and stuff, which a lot of people are in movies like this. Okay, yeah, that's what it was. It was non-sequitur kind of cutting. Like I said, it's the editing. It's the editing. That was it.
I work in editing. I try not to look, because if I look at anything, it'll just ruin it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I try to look at it just like from a standpoint of the movie. And I thought it was fun, but I guess these people are just very sophisticated.
No, that's probably an insight. If you're close to the process, you're probably more forgiving. Like, I think I've heard a lot of filmmakers say, if you look at any movie that's produced that you've seen, the amount of shit that can go wrong with a releasing a movie, it's amazing that any of them get made at all. So, you know, that's.
Okay, Real Film Podcast at realfilm_movies. First time they've contributed to the show. Thank you. Best, Captain Fantastic, again.
What?
Hunt for Wilder People, Civil War, If It Counts. Worst, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Date.
Oh, I wanted to see that.
Independence Day.
I just saw that last
night.
What's
it like?
Oh, and?
It's like Dude, Where's My Car?
I hated that fucking movie. Okay. I hated that fucking movie. All right. No, I imagined it would be like that. Like, if it's at least funny enough to make you laugh like more than a handful of times, then, you know.
It had a few parts. Yeah. It had a few parts, yeah. Okay, but not too many parts.
And their last worst, again, Rick, Suicide Squad.
It's a setup.
Yeah.
It is actually fashionable to bash Suicide Squad now if you look online.
Fashionable bash DC, I think. That's
DC, yeah, they like
the
to piss on that. So yeah.
They then added Star Trek Beyond, probably the best of the summer blockbuster bunch.
Mm,
The Mockers Podcast, worst movie has been said, but I'll concur, Independence Day Resurgence.
Mm.
And the best, Conjuring 2. And that's as good as they could come up with, just one of each.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Ryan versus Frankenstein at Positively Nerdy, creating my own not best but surprisingly good category. Ghostbusters, Star Trek Beyond, Peace Dragon, Bad Moms, Dory, and Tarzan.
Hmm, Tarzan.
I didn't see it, but I know Justin from the Epic Film Guys absolutely shat all over that film.
Tarzan, I know it flopped and everything.
No good.
All the first 20 minutes were not that good.
Okay.
I turned it off after that. So.
Well, there you go. Didn't capture. No one cares about Tarzan, man. That's the thing.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, it had to happen, but here you go. Matthew James. First time contributed to the show at only Anesthetist 1. Finding Dory was great. Star Trek Beyond and Captain America 3 were rubbish.
Oh, really?
There you go. So,
wow, differing.
Brentley Oliver, friend of the show. Best, Captain America Civil War. Worst, and currently my worst movie of the year. Here you go, Rick. Here's some love. Jason Bourne.
Ah, I'm definitely going to see that.
Yeah. All right, last couple. Netflix and Spleel show. Best Civil War. Worst, Independence Day. Cam Skywalker. Best, Star Trek Beyond. Worst, X-Men, Apocalypse, underrated, Warcraft. Not surprised it bombed, Ghostbusters.
Warcraft, has anyone seen that?
I watched it last night.
And?
I did have a discussion with Cam, and we agreed that you had to have played the game to understand what the fuck was going on.
Right, because it did well internationally, just not locally.
It only did well in China.
Of course.
China fell all over.
It made hundreds of millions, right?
400 plus, I believe.
Wow.
And the vast majority of that was from China, which made like 180 million or something. And I was looking at this last night because it's perplexingly confusing. Like,
is it?
Why is this this is a film about orcs versus humans. How can they make it too complex to follow? Because it just doesn't explain anything.
Oh, really?
Yep. It's just like, here we are, we're doing this. And then some character's doing something. Why is he doing this? Why is he sticking his hand in that pool? Why is this person not like that person? What is this mythical... Nothing's explained.
So clearly that's all referenced in the game?
Well, Duncan Jones, who is fairly high-class director, has gone on record as saying he's a huge fan of the game, played it heaps. It just feels like they've just cut together this film that only hardcore wowers will understand.
That's an odd choice.
It's terrible.
Is it long?
2 hours.
Yeah, it's long.
Looks great. Don't get me wrong. The visual effects are amazing.
Yeah.
Looks very, very impressive, but it's just vacuously confusing.
Jeez,
they
that.
Make something up. That makes no sense at all. Because it makes about as much sense as that movie.
That Captain Fantastic movie is with Viggo Mortensen.
I can remember a little bit about hearing about
this. Might be worth checking out. Thanks for checking that out for us, Rick. Okay, last one. Educating Brad, first-time contributor at Edu Brad Podcast. Best,
hey, Brad.
The Nice Guys. Worst, Suicide Squad, in my humble opinion, of course, Dave from that show.
A lot of love for The Nice Guys, which I guess I expected. I didn't expect so many people to like Star Trek Beyond as much as they do. It was a good movie, it just wasn't great. So, you know.
Yeah, I would agree. I found one more, and we should mention him, Darth Sean at DarthSean85. And he said, Kubo and the Two Strings was the only decent film he really saw over the summer.
Hmm.
2016 was a huge disappointment for
him. Yeah.
So there we are.
Most people think that.
Thanks so much, everyone, for getting back again. Your contributions assist in making this show what it is.
Thanks, guys.
It seems like we're all on the same page, just maybe slightly different in terms of what was good or what was bad for each of us.
No, I liked Rick's list. It's a nice counterpoint. It's always good to hear what I like it when one person likes the thing that everyone hated and why they liked it. No, I do. Like it makes a whole different thing. It puts a different spin on when I watch things again.
All right, great.
Well, I got a question for you guys.
Sure. Yeah.
So if you had to compare 2016 summer to the 1997 summer that gave us Steel, Batman and Robin, Jurassic Park 2, Speed 2, Contact, 187 or 187, Conspiracy Theory or Free Willy 3.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they were the biggest films of that year.
Which one's worse?
1997.
Definitely, definitely.
So yeah. It's not the worst ever.
Yeah, we like to hag on it, but yeah, you're right. There's definitely been worse summers.
Just find a little solace in this summer. You can go back, and there are worse summers out there.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
Good point, good point.
It just feels like, because I think you're right, somewhere earlier on, Wayne, you said there are audience expectations, and I think our expectations have grown proportionately to budgets that are being spent and marketing that goes into these juggernauts of films these days.
Mm.
So back in 1997, obviously I wasn't as into film as I am now, in a sense, because of the podcast, but I don't know. I don't remember my year being ruined by that, whereas this year it feels like, damn, that hurt, that one hurt too.
yeah, and I think also with all these movies, the superhero movies coming out, because I'm actually convinced that the superhero movie universe format only works for friggin' Marvel. Everyone else who's tried it, it kind of screwed up. So DC's having massive problems. They're taking steps at the studio, and they're making it very public that they've reshuffled the executive team and this kind of thing. But yeah, Suicide Squad was meant to be the thing that picked it up. It didn't. We don't know what's going to happen next.
Wonder Woman, that's what happens next.
Yeah, I've actually got massive hopes for that.
Do you really?
I do. I like her sliding along the shield on the floor in slow motion and kicking people's ass and stuff. I know it's poised to fail, but no, I will definitely be very interested in that one.
Her backstory is... Ugh.
There we go. I was going to say, Rick may be the opinion of the wider populace there. So
No, I think most people are on board with you here, Rick.
More and I like DC. I like DC, but...
All right. Well, we shall see. I think it's March next year that comes out. So kicking off the summer season with another DC film. This time, expectations I don't think will be as high.
One would think.
Okay. Well, before we finish up, Rick, I want to give you a chance to plug your podcast and let our listeners know how they can find you.
So we have episode 50 coming up, which will be out on Thursday. We just had an episode come out with Pacifier the Band. Great interview with them yesterday. And you guys can find us on www.radiomisfits.com. Or, of course, you can go to poopculture.com or find us on Twitter at poopculture. And check it out, man. It changes from week to week. Try to keep it fresh.
Look, it is. It's a great show. I have a lot of fun. It's in my subscribe list, and I get onto it every week. And there's never a week where I don't go, that's some funny shit. You guys have a great chemistry and a great show and some amazing guests. So please do check it out.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, just to finish up today, we're just going to let people know how to get in contact with us and then talk about next week's show.
Cool. On Facebook, find us by searching for The Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We are on Twitter at The Countdown PC. We are hosting our show on Podomatic, where via any podcatching app you can find us. You can like and follow us on Podomatic and, most importantly, on iTunes, where the vast majority of our listeners come from. You can subscribe there. You can listen there. You can tell a friend about us there.
Tell a friend.
You can also leave a rating and review. And what type of ratings do we like, Wayne?
We love the 5 stars. But we'll take anything you give us.
Because we have no choice.
That's right.
So we really appreciate everyone who's getting behind the show and helping us to get out to a wider audience, which is what it's all about.
For sure.
All right, Wayne, what are we doing next week for episode 79?
Next week, we are going to review The Magnificent Seven. And we're also going to do a countdown of the top 10 Denzel films.
Oh, yeah. The countdown I'm looking forward to, but... My laugh then, because I know you've already seen.
I saw Magnificent Seven. Yeah,
and I'm assuming the word magnificent should not be in the title. But
well, you know, it was behind the eight ball being an Antoine Fuqua movie. But, I hinted at it being somewhat shit on Facebook, but you know, I mean, well, I'll leave it for the review.
Yeah,
but
we'll talk about it next
I
week. But I've yet to see it, so we'll see whether it's an across the board not happy response from the countdown. And then the week after, for episode 80, when we're having returning guest host Alejandro, he who is an expert of all things ocean.
At least we say that every time he comes on.
Yeah. He is the resident expert on whatever topic he comes to discuss. He loves it when we talk about him that way. We are going to be reviewing Deepwater Horizon.
A Marky Mark movie.
A Marky Mark movie.
He doesn't like that moniker.
No, he doesn't like that.
No, and I wouldn't say it to his face, but it's okay because I'm all the way over here in Australia. And with also Kurt Russell, a fave of the show, and we'll be reviewing the top 10 sea set films off the back of that.
Yeah.
There we are. That's the next fortnight on The Countdown. Rick, thanks again for joining us all the way from New York. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks, bro.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Wish you all the best with the 50th episode and the next 50 beyond.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, thank you very much for listening once again. That's going to do it for us this week. Until next time, my name is Wayne.
My name is Rick.
My name is Paul.
And we'll see you real soon.
Cheers.
And I'm like, hey, you know, I talked to Harrison, you know, you want to get him on the show for this movie, blah, blah, blah. And she says, well, you know, I want to be honest with you. We find your name disturbing. Bitch, your fucking actor kills people in movies. And poop culture is disturbing to you.
Then from the aforementioned Pat and Jason binge. Pat and Jason? Best, Hell or High Water. Worst, Independence Day. Well, actually, he wrote worst. I'll start that again, sorry. Pat and Jason. Fortnightly Forum, also again. Captain Fantastic. Now, what's... I'll start that again, because what the fuck is Captain Fantastic? I read Captain and assumed it was Captain America. All right, Wayne, what are we doing next week for episode 79?
I don't cunting know. What are we doing?
It's amazing we've got this far without that moment in the show.
Yeah, I know. Usually that happens. Let's have a look here.